Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on dua, an Abi Umama radiyallahu anhu qal, qila li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyu dua'i asma' qala jawfa al-layl al-akhir wa dubra as-salawat al-maktuba. Rawahu Tirmidhi. Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which dua is most likely to be accepted? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which dua is most likely to be accepted? He replied, the supplication, in other words, the dua that is made in the latter part of the night and after the obligatory salah. So that dua that is made in the later part of the night, what we normally refer to as the Hajj time, around that time the dua is most likely to be accepted, and after the Farz salah. So here we see the importance of making dua after the Farz salah. Now, after the Farz salah is a time when dua should be made. Sometimes it can be made immediately after the Farz namaz, or it can also be made after a person finishes his rawatib, his sunnat muakkada, and his nafil, etc. Now he can sit and he may make that dua. So this is the time also that a person should make dua. Doesn't mean the imam sahab finishes his dua quickly, or sometimes he makes a silent dua and people don't know what dua to make. They start looking around. This is the time a person can make individual dua. Every person has got his own needs. That's why ideally he should ask for his own needs. Sometimes a person, he may be having a lot of wealth, for example. Now he doesn't have financial difficulties. He may have some other kind of problem. He may have some domestic problems. He may have some other kind of some other type of problems at work. He may have some problems as far as his health is concerned. So now he'll want to make dua for his health. He may be a person who's got some financial problems. So he wants to make dua for his financial difficulties. Some other person, he may have some problem with his staff, so he might want to make dua that Allah Pak, you sort that problem also. Each person can make their individual dua. This is the time when duas are answered. So therefore, ideally, a person shouldn't waste this opportunity after the Farz Salah. It is not necessary to wait for the imam, or when the imam is making dua, then we make, he doesn't make, we don't make. It is a time when duas are answered, so we should take advantage of it. And we should continue for long. As I said, you can start your sunnat and then read it up, continue the dua after that. Or a person can first make it and then read his sunnat. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, yustajabu li ahadikum ma lam ya'jal, yaqulu qad da'utu rabbi falam yastajib li, muttafaqun alayh. Wa fi riwayatin li muslim, la yazalu yustajabu lil abdi ma lam yad'u bi ithmin, unqati'ati rahimin ma lam yasta'jil. قيل يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما الاستعجال قال يقول قد دعوت وقد دعوت فلم أرى يستجب لي فيستحسر عند ذلك ويدعو الدعاء. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, each of your du'as will be accepted as long as you are not impatient. Each of your du'as will be accepted as long as you are not impatient by saying, I made dua to Allah, but he did not accept it. What is being impatient? Person starts complaining now. I made dua to Allah Pak, but he didn't accept this dua of mine. Now, this is being impatient. In the narration of Muslim Sharif has, a slave's duas will continue to be accepted as long as he does not make dua for something that is sinful or for severing ties of kinship, and as long as he is not impatient. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is impatience? He replied by saying, he says, referring to the person that is making dua, I made dua, but I did not see any acceptance. So he holds back and gives up supplicating. Now he stops making dua, he holds back, he doesn't make dua, because he said, I made dua, it's not being accepted. So this is being impatient. So ulama explained that du'as will be accepted. And we'll go on explaining the du'as will be accepted. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds what a person is asking back because there's something better in store for him. There's something that is better, more beneficial, more useful. He can't see it and he can't understand it, but in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he understands it. So therefore, a person shouldn't lose patience as far as du'a is concerned. Sometimes the du'a can take long to be answered. We see in the time of Zakariya alayhi salam, he made dua for a son. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him the son after 40 years. But he didn't lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made dua. Like that we see Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam. They made dua against Firaun. Firaun was an oppressor at that time. So much of zulam he was causing. So they made dua and dua and dua. Only after 40 years they see the results of the dua. So it doesn't lose hope as far as the dua is concerned. In the least that is happening, he is showing his weakness and his incapacity, incapability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. عن عبادة بن صامت رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما على الأرض مسلم يدعو الله تعالى بدعوة إلا آتاه الله إياها وصرف عنه من السوء مثلها ما لم يدعو بإثم أو قطيعة رحم فقال رجل من القوم إذن نكسره قال الله أكثر رواه الترمذي. That Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no Muslim on earth makes dua to Allah ta'ala without Allah Pak granting his request or averting a similar harm from him, provided that he does not supplicate for something sinful or for the severing of kinship. A man asked, in that case we will supplicate in abundance. He said, Allah will grant even more than that. In other words, even more than you can ask, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant. So the first thing we learn from the first part of this hadith is that when a person makes dua, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either grant him what he is asking for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ward off something, some punishment, some difficulty, some hardship. Allah Pak in his mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, in his knowledge, he knows that this is good for this person, let me ward this off. Now he's thinking in his mind, my dua is not getting answered, but he's not realizing that Allah Pak has saved him from some accident, some robbery, some hijacking, some difficulty, some ill health. Allah Pak has saved him, but he's thinking he's not getting what he's asking for. So this hadith is telling us that Allah Pak is saving you from something else. So the first thing we learn is a person's request is granted immediately or is granted after a delay, but he's getting what he wants in dua. The next thing that can happen is instead of the request being granted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a sickness, he removes a calamity, he removes something from a person. So he makes it such that he is saved from this hardship. The next thing that will happen is the reward of the dua is stored for him in the year after. Allah Pak didn't give him that what he asked for. So this is the third possibility, that the dua that he is making, the reward of it is stored for him in the year after. And when a believer will see the great reward stored for him in the year after, he will hope that none of his du'as got answered in the dunya. That is so much of a reward for Allah Pak not granting me this du'a, answering this du'a in dunya. So much of a reward he has kept for me in the akhirah that I wish that none of my du'as got answered. And the fourth thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant that which was requested, but something even better. So a person, for example, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him a bicycle. And he wanted a bicycle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him something even better. He gave him one car. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you even better than you asked. So this is the fourth possibility. You didn't get what you asked, but you got something much better than what you asked. So this is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqulu inda al-karbi, la ilaha illa Allah al-azim al-halim, la ilaha illa Allah rabbu al-arsh al-azim, la ilaha illa Allah rabbu al-samawati wa rabbu al-ardi wa rabbu al-arsh al-kareem. Muttafaqun alayh. This is teaching us how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua. One of the etiquettes of making dua, starting the dua by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever words of praise we know, that is how we start dua. Then the next thing we do in our dua is we send durood, salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we start asking for our needs and etc., whatever we want. So this is the tartib, that whatever words of praise a person knows, he starts with that, then he sends salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he asks for whatever he wants. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say at the time of difficulty, he used to read this dua, these words, there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, the great, the forbearing. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah, the Lord, the mighty, the Lord of the mighty throne. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah, the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the earth, the Lord of the noble throne. So here we see that the opening words of this dua, and this is how a person should make dua. That opening words of the dua are all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in other words, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he does, he is fully deserving of praise. Whatever he does is good for me. is a discussion that takes place amongst ulama, that a person should, he ask Allah Pak that grant me what is good for me, or he should specify in dua, Allah Pak grant me this, grant me that, grant me this. What should a person do? So ulama explain that if a person has reached such a level that he is asking for those things that will take him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mind and his heart is for akhirat, then for that type of person it is good and permissible, it's okay for him to ask for specific things because his mind and heart is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with akhirat. But the general person, the average person, and not to say that it's wrong for him to ask, but for him to put his trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if this thing is good for me, in your knowledge, if it's good for me, then you grant it to me. And then he puts his reliance and his trust that whatever Allah Pak wants for me in that situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was granted to me. So we fall in this category, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time we ask Allah that if this thing is good for me, then you grant it to me. If it's not good for me, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you keep it away from me. So in other words, we putting it, the trust and reliance in the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah Pak grants it to us, as I mentioned, immediately we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we don't get it immediately, we still thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we tell ourselves something better Allah has got in store for us. Either he saves us from some calamity, either it's stored in the year after, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us something much, much better than what we even asking for. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.